Well, welcome everybody. Here we are for another exciting event.
You're multitasking again, Barry.
Yes, I am multitasking. Hang on a second. It's so funny because I've got my iPad going, I've got my iPhone going, I've got the stream on a different browser, and I'm hearing myself because the volume was on. So anyway, welcome everybody. As you can tell, it's first day with the new brain for me. Hope everybody's having a great week. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm just wondering what you did with the old brain.
Well, I couldn't trade it in for it didn't have much value, so just started fresh. How's your week been going, mate?
Yeah, week's been going well. Last couple of days, been doing some seminars into Moldova. I was actually supposed to be in Moldova personally this week doing an ACE school, but like everything else this year, it's been cancelled. And Wynette, who was going to come with me and do the ACE school, we did two sessions on Monday, two sessions on Tuesday into Moldova. This kind of format that we're using now, except we had three people on the screen at the beginning, myself and Wynette and our interpreter. And then either Wynette or I dropped off, but it's translated into Romanian, which is the language they speak, a dialect of Romanian in Moldova. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, in one sense, I was saying to Barry, it went well. I mean, you know, the teachings went well and the interpreters were very, very good and very positive response from them. But in terms of live views, there were kind of like yesterday, three or four, you know, live views, people watching. And, you know, if you look at that on one level, you can be discouraged. But this morning I look at the YouTube statistics and like 20, 30 people have watched the video overnight. And you think, well, that's what it's all about. You know, we can't get wound up with how many are watching live. We're just sowing a seed. And it's something Barry often says, we just sow the seed. We sow the seed. We sow the seed. And we just let Father do what he wants to do with it. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing the last couple of days, and it's been fun as ever.
And the thing is, to you know, like when you think about it, I mean, you're teaching now. You and Wynette's teaching it as actually in Moldovan, right? So that's digital, like you said, digital seed, mm-hmm. and it will remain on YouTube for who knows how long, but so yeah, I think that's where you have to think about it. And like you said, even now there you can see the seeds multiplying pretty quick.
Yeah, that's right. And if any of you guys are interested in watching, it's on my YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, A Father to You, and there's the four seminars in with translation to Romanian, Moldovan. There's a few I did the other week with Trevor at a conference into Denmark, so translation into Danish. So it's just this amazing library that we can build up that easily.
Yeah, it's still amazing. I mean, you know, I think, you know, sometimes we take it, well, I don't know if you and I take it for granted, but I guess if you did take it for granted, you know, but it's still amazing that you guys were in Moldova together. I mean, you know, Wynette's in the Netherlands, you're in England, and you're both in Moldova. So, I mean, that never gets old. So, did you want to talk a little bit about with Trevor and what's going on there?
Yeah. We've I don't know if this is going to work, but I'll just try it anyway, Barry. Okay. Oh, this might work. Yeah, it does work. Yes, I'm doing a series of seminars with Trevor. We're starting on the 16th of November, just under a couple of weeks' time. The series is called Planted in Love, and we're really just looking at practical aspects of our sonship. I'm doing three different sessions, different topics on each session. Trevor's going to do his three sessions are going to be a series, and it's really, Trevor calls it Paul's revelation of sonship. So Trevor's going to be going through on those three afternoons, the second session, he's going to be going through how Paul really had a grasp of sonship and how we see that in Paul's letters. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 16th, 17th and 18th of November, UK time, it's with kicking off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Eastern Standard Time, that's 9 o'clock in the morning, I think. Yeah, 9 o'clock in the morning. Europe, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Do the two sessions for about an hour each session, a half hour break in the middle. And then at the end of the two sessions, we have a Zoom question and answer ministry session, where Trevor and I will be answering questions and just praying for people a bit more sort of in a bit more of a sort of group format. So yeah, that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time. If you go to afathertoyou.com/seminars, you can register. You do need to register because that's the only way you'll get the links sent to you. It's free, but you're very welcome to make a donation if you'd like to. So coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and you know, just feel free, go to the website, recommend it to your friends, sign up, and hopefully sometime early next week I'll be sending out the links. They'll all be scheduled on YouTube, and you just click on the relevant link, it will take you to the session, and off you go. And they will be there, as like, you know, all these things are, once they're recorded, they're there, they're on YouTube, you've got the links, you can go back to them. And if you want to and you've missed the first two series, I did a series with Barry at the end of June, and I did which is really kind of about just experiencing Father's love. And then I did a series with Wynette in September on comfort. And if you sign up for the Planted in Love series and you missed the first two, I can send you the links for those. Mm. All good stuff.
It's all good, mate. And I just I just encourage everybody to consider that if you can. It's definitely having the two amigos together. It's it's always a treat to have Mark and Trevor together on that. So, is there anything else that we need to announce? Anything else going on? Or
What else is happening? No, what are you up to? Are you doing anything exciting?
I'm heading to Toronto, which is only 60 miles down the road, but it's to do the School of Ministry just on Friday. That's always a joy for me to do. It's their advanced school, mm-hmm. So I'll be there just for one day. Of course, social distancing and masks and everything else, but they figured it out. It's amazing how they've done that, and I had a great time last time I was there, but I'm looking forward to that. Taking my bride with me then, and yeah. So before we start, Mark, would you mind just opening in prayer? Then I'll start, and then I'll bring you back, and you can just sort me out theologically.
I don't think that will happen. There won't be any need for that. So yeah, Barry's going to be kicking off this evening and just sharing on weakness, which is just such an important topic. And something we don't do very well, I guess. So looking forward to what Barry's going to be sharing with us. But let's just open our hearts, because I feel when we talk about things like this, it's touching something that there's a tension and a conflict between what the Spirit is saying to us and what our tradition might say to us. So we just want an open heart to hear what the Father's saying and what the Spirit is bringing to us. So let's just do that. Let's just posture our hearts before Barry starts, and just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into each of our rooms, wherever we are right now. As we watch this video later, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. And we want to give you freedom in our hearts tonight. That, Father, you would speak to each one of us. You would show us the pathway that your Son walked. And, Father, that the fear of abandoning our own strengths. Father, you would just take that fear away from us and make it easy for us to see the pathway of weakness.
Yes, Lord.
Or make it easier anyway. Father, we thank you that you're good. Thank you that you're holding us in your embrace. Mm. We might not feel that, but that's what you're doing. You're holding us in your embrace. Mm. And so, Father, we trust ourselves to that embrace. And we just say, Holy Spirit, you have complete freedom in our hearts tonight. That you would come, Holy Spirit, with the gentle wind and breeze of the Father's words being spoken into our heart. Father, blow away any traditions that are just not from you.
Yes, Lord.
And breathe new life into our hearts. And Father, I just pray for Barry that as he shares with us, that he would say the words you want him to say. And that if he has to deviate from his notes to do that, then let him deviate from his notes. Yeah. Father, just do us good as we rest in your presence. May this be a time of rest and refreshment. Mm. That we can just soak up your presence, soak up your life. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. That was good. I think I can just go lie down now.
Well, I'm with you on that one, mate.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks, mate. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for coming. And as always, we don't take it for granted that that you would just invest your time in sharing it with us. And Mark and I, over the years, have just kind of felt like when we get together like this every week, it's just really sitting down and almost, you know, virtually having a coffee together and just sharing our lives. And so when we talked about this week, Mark had thought, well, Barry, do you have anything that you want to share? And I thought about it, and I just thought again about one of the kind of the kind of going around the mountain again, and this whole idea of weakness. And, you know, we have shared about weakness many times, and this whole the value of the Father Heart Revelation is one that really comes to us in our weakness. And I just think of, you know, we are in Canada, so we're not in the United States. And of course, they had an election yesterday, but we just ourselves, we personally live like about 20 miles from the U.S. border. I think 75% of all Canadians live within 100 miles of the U.S. border. So we're really affected by things that are happening there. And I think, you know, in the world that we're living in, there's so much global uncertainty that we're all dealing with a global pandemic and fear of getting sick and, you know, the issues of job security and social unrest and political unrest. And of course, we're seeing some of that the tension of that even in the United States with the election right now. And, you know, when it comes to this, the pandemic that we're dealing with, even the greatest, you know, the world's minds, they just, you know, they don't even have solutions right now. And so I think we're in a position where this message of weakness, I just think it's as Mark said, sometimes it's hard for us to come to terms with this because of the society that we're raised in, the culture that we were raised in, that, you know, we're taught to be strong, and we, you know, it's the strong that win the race, not the weak, you know. And so I think I'm hoping that what I have to share tonight is, and again, it's nothing new. It's just, I think it's timely in the season that we're living in. But I really believe that it's, you know, the title that I put on this talk, the first part of the talk, and Mark's going to talk too, but it's just finding strength in the midst of our weakness. And I just think that I just believe even tonight, and if you're watching this afterwards, that, that you know, my prayer is that the Father would just speak to you and speak to me, and that we would be able to kind of have an aha moment in our own lives, and like how that there might be something of this of substance that comes from this. But I really believe that what the Father wants us to know in the midst of kind of a world that's kind of coming unglued, that, you know, that we can be convinced that there's nothing in all creation that can separate us from his love in Christ right now. And that I believe that the Father really wants us to really be reminded that if he feeds the birds of the air, that he's going to feed us too. And I do believe that even in the most difficult storms that you and I are dealing with, that we can have a supernatural peace that passes understanding, a peace where Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you." And I just believe that even as I'm speaking tonight, and no matter what storm you're going through, no matter what issues that you are facing personally in your life, that the substance of the love of God, the substance of the peace that Jesus gives to us, will actually guard your heart and your mind in Christ now. And that there, even though in the natural sense that things aren't making sense, you know, that we might feel like, well, I should be more afraid, or I should be more anxious or stressed out, that even in during our time together, that somehow by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there would just be a sense of safety and security. And I really believe that one of the keys to the kingdom is being able to really embrace weakness and come to terms with our weakness, our frailty, not resist it, not try to pretend we don't have it, not to cover it up, but to actually wholeheartedly embrace it with all our being. And and again, not in a way that we are, dismissing ourselves or putting ourselves down, but in a way of just celebrating that, you know, that it's not our weakness that carries the day. It's the love that God has for us and him being a father to us in the midst of our weakness. And as Mark mentioned, you know, I think our tendency in life often is to resist being weak. And in society, you know, growing up, you know, big boys don't cry. You know, we shut down vulnerability. We try to have this bravado about being strong and competent. And, you know, even in, you know, bless the educational system. And I know teachers do their best. But even in the educational system, when you have gold stars for the achievers and the ones who get, you know, C's and D's on their report cards can get shamed. I really believe that there is a real struggle in the human heart that, you know, no one wants to be weak. And so what do? We portray this false sense of strength, you know. And I think, just think about this for a second. If we had a weakness conference, you know, so we wanted to advertise this and we wanted to get it on throughout the internet and have brochures and everything else. And we're going to have a weakness conference and we're going to talk about the joys and the glory of being weak. How many people would attend? You know, if it was a power conference, if it was talking about the signs and wonders and the kingdom coming, you know, that would be one thing. But if we really, wanted to focus on this idea of weakness, I don't know how well it would be attended, even though I think beyond the surface, every one of us has this in our hearts. We know that we're weaker than we maybe sometimes let on to be. And one of the things I think in my own life, and it's a continuum for me, and oftentimes I forget, you know, it's kind of like the prodigal son who leaves home and, you know, then he ends up in a pig pen and he goes, what was I thinking? And then he comes to his senses and starts to head towards home. I think sometimes in my own life, you know, I forget and, you know, I try to operate in a counterfeit strength. But one of the things that I realize when I'm really dialed into the core of the love of God for me is that my own strength just gets in the way. I remember when you know, now it's almost 22 years ago that I created the Father's Love Letter sermon illustration, and, you know, it kind of got out of hand on the internet. And, you know, oftentimes my tendency would be to try to carry false responsibility or carry the weight of the world on the shoulders, and to see this love letter, you know, delivered around the world. And I'd be trying to manage it in my own self-effort. And the Lord would just, I remember when he'd say, just deliver the letter, then get out of the way. Like, it's just like, because when I try to operate in my own sense of strength and my own competency and my own good intentions, I just get into the way of the strength that God wants to flow in the way that he does it, which is not in the way that, you know, normally the world system works. But this whole idea of weakness really has been something that I, you know, it's a progressive revelation for me, and I think it is for a lot of people. I grew up, you know, in a, just with a lot of success, and a lot of the pursuit of success for me was just rooted in wanting to have my earthly father's attention. And so, you know, I was top of my class, and, you know, skipped a grade. I was president of the student council. I graduated high school early. I went into the newspaper business and had success there. And I was in a martial arts sport called judo, and I, you know, won, you know, some judo tournaments there. And so, like, for the first 25 years of my life, I would say that I hadn't really experienced a lot of failure. But there was a season in my life where I started a publishing company, and I really had some really high kind of ideas for it. And I even made God my business partner in the endeavor, and it actually kind of just unraveled, and it didn't go the way I hoped for, and it was like that was the first time in my life where I experienced failure, and it absolutely rocked me to the core, and for me to try to deal with this failure in this business, you know, I was still working in the newspaper business and you know, having a young family at home and, you know, doing my best, but it was just like this failure of this business just absolutely devastated me. And so I thought maybe if I would double tithe, that would get me out of the financial hole that I had put myself in with my wife. I thought if I fasted, if I worked harder in the kingdom, you know, that somehow that would, you know, if I kind of sought God's kingdom first, that he would be obligated to look after my problems. But the harder I worked and even in kingdom things, the worse things got. And it got to a place where we thought we were going to lose our home. And every night I'd come home after working all day in the newspaper business, and I would just weep. I would just go up to our bedroom by myself, and I was just so broken. And it was just like I just nothing was working. And it was at that point where I actually just gave up. I stopped, you know, trying to work hard. We actually stopped attending church for a season, stopped tithing, stopped reading my Bible, stopped fasting. And it was in that season of absolute brokenness, you know, I was 27 at this time, and that the Lord just opened up the floodgates of his blessing, and he started to bless us, and he just doubled our income in the newspaper business, and just totally blew my mind away. And I remember just saying to the Lord one day, I just said, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I'm not doing anything to earn or deserve it. And I just heard the Lord say, well, it's my grace. Of course you don't deserve it. But I had this revelation of the grace of God. And I began to realize that there's this the beauty of weakness. And, you know, when Jacob had his encounter with an angel, and he wrestled all night, and the Bible says at the end of, you know, the Lord, you know, he was wrestling with the Lord, and you know, at the end of the night, he wouldn't let him go, and so until he blessed him, and the angel touched him in the hip of his socket, and his hip was dislocated. But I think something else was dislocated in his heart. You know, he wrestled with God and prevailed, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. And I felt like even in my early days of, you know, being 27 and having a failing business and thinking we're going to lose our house and everything, I began to realize even at that age that I began to walk with a limp. And Psalm 34 verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And, you know, this was kind of an early day revelation back then about this whole idea of weakness. And so I just want to, again, we are in a situation now globally where I don't think anybody can manage figuring this out. We can't outthink it. We can't outspend it. You know, this whole global pandemic, we just don't know. You know, I know a lot of nations in Europe are shutting down again, and, you know, we're talking about these type of things in Canada as well. We just don't know what the future holds. And so I just want to unpack a little bit from, you know, Paul the Apostle and his revelation of weakness and how this changed his life. And I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 7. And, of course, this is very familiar to us. It's the thorn in the flesh that he asked the Lord to remove. It says, by reason of the exceeding greatness of revelations, that I should not be exalted excessively, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, that I should not be exalted excessively. Concerning this thing, I begged the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul's response to Jesus, like saying to him this, he says, more gladly, therefore, I will glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasures in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And, you know, that is something that we're all familiar with. And, you know, and again, I think there's so many nuggets there that we can unpack. But in verse 9 of the Amplified Version, this is what it says. This is God saying to the Lord saying to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation, for my power is being perfected. It is completed and shows itself more effectively in your weakness. Now think about that for a second. When we talk about weakness, when we talk about the struggle to be weak, how we want to project this. At least maybe I'm the only one. Maybe everybody else is listening has never had this struggle. But for me, you know, I have had this, you know, I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be vulnerable and you know, because you want to portray this counterfeit strength. But what if this is the actual case where God himself says, my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. You see, I truly believe that the gateway, if I could say it that way, to the immeasurable eternal strength of the Godhead is through us being weak. It doesn't come with us trying to be strong. It doesn't come with us trying to present some competency that is beyond our pay grade. It comes when you and I are able to come to terms with the reality of our life, that we are just weak. And it's like, if we can just come to terms with that, and then that's where the Amplified Version, my power is being perfected and it is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. And, you know, when I just think of that, and then I think of how the Passion Translation says that as well. And this is, again, verse 9 from the Passion Translation. It says, my grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression in your weakness. So how does Paul respond to that? He says, so I celebrate my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. And then he goes on in the last part of verse 10 in the Passion Translation says, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. Now, my prayer is that would just sink into each and every one of our hearts. My weakness becomes a portal to God's power. You see, I really believe that when I, you know, before I came into this revelation of the Father's love, when I thought of 1 Corinthians 12 and this, the thorn in the flesh and this weakness, you know what I thought it was? I thought it was, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What I thought it was, I'm weak, and that attracts the strength of God, and then I'm strong, but I'm no longer weak anymore. Now I'm strong. And I think sometimes theologically, when we talk about this passage, we're saying you were weak, and then when you're weak, then the strength of Christ comes, and then you're strong, and then you're not weak anymore. And so everybody's walking around trying to be strong, saying I'm strong with the strength of Christ, because, you know, but I used to be weak. But that's not what it says. It says, you know, and again, this is the Passion Translation. It says, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. And, you know, I think for me, you know, as I grow in this revelation, and again, this just is my perspective, but, I'm not getting more competent. You know, I feel like as I get older, I'm getting more foolish. I'm not getting more complex in my thinking. I'm getting more simple. I'm not getting stronger. I'm getting weaker. And, you know, even if you look at the Apostle Paul in his journey in the beginning of his ministry, you know, he was trying to contend with the super apostles, and he was trying to kind of justify his position in the kingdom and his apostolic authority. But by the end of his life, you know, when he saw himself as the chief of sinners. And you see this progression of not strength, but a progression of weakness. And when you begin to think about that, when I begin to think about, you know, in the world system that we're in, and, you know, maybe you're out of work, or maybe you're sick, or a loved one's sick, or maybe you don't know what the future holds. And then, you know, it causes you to be afraid. It causes you to feel weak, and it feel like unsettled, but then you feel like the pressure to project something that isn't necessarily authentic. You know, the truth of the matter is, I truly believe when we come to terms with our weakness, when we come to terms with our smallness, when we come to terms with just our inability to do anything apart from Jesus, you know, in John 5, verse 19 and 20, Jesus talks about his dependence upon his Father when he says the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. And then in John 15, and Jesus talks about him being the vine and we're the branch. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, that is the best news ever. That a branch is can do nothing of itself. It is only in its connection to the vine that it has the life of the vine, the strength of the vine, the nourishment of the vine. Just every resource that comes from the vine is by virtue of its dependence on the vine. You know, when Paul the Apostle came to the Corinthians church, and in 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 3, this is how Paul ministered. He says, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and pervasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You see, this is how Paul had this revelation of weakness, right? And I mean, for him to have a revelation of weakness, that meant he probably didn't have that revelation before. So he was walking in, you know, in like he was an amazing intellect. You know, like as far as he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, of zeal, you know, he was the most zealous, not only Pharisee, but he was probably the most zealous Christian leader there was. And then all of a sudden, something, his strength ran out. You know, when he came into this place of having a thorn of the flesh, he couldn't deal with it. It was beyond his pay grade. And it was in this place that he realized his helplessness, that he was unable to do it in his own strength. But it was when he saw that when he is weak, then all of the strength of heaven is attracted to his weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's not when I'm weak, then I become strong and I'm no longer weak anymore. I really believe it's when I'm weak and I continually be weak. I continually to be live in a place of complete honesty and authenticity, authentic, just being honest before God and just saying, I'm just little, I'm helpless, I'm weak. Would you just rescue me? I just believe that that just absolutely draws the power of God. I find it interesting when Paul the Apostle even ministered to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I think it's around verse 8. Or verse 7 and 8, he says, we were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Now, can you think about that? Paul says, you know, he comes in weakness and fear to the Corinthians. In the Thessalonians, he says, we were like little children. We weren't trying to exert our apostolic authority. We were just little. You see, the truth of the matter is, I believe that God has always used weak people. King David wrote, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I already talked about Jacob and his transition from Jacob to Israel, where he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. And Gideon, you know, the story of Gideon, you know, he was, you know, when the Philistines were coming, he hid, and, you know, he hid in a, you know, wine press or something. And when the angel found him, he said, I'm the least of my family, who's the least of the clan, who's the least of the tribe. Like he was saying, like, I am the least of the least. And yet, you know, the address that the angel addressed him with is like mighty man of valor or something like that. You know, it's like it was like in his weakness that the strength of God was able to be able to be poured out. There was a believer named George Mueller, and I don't know how long ago it was, but he was just an amazing champion of orphanages and caring for the orphans, and he had this incredible great faith, and there's all kinds of, you know, miraculous testimonies of him looking after all these orphans in the UK. And he made a statement that I thought was really, really compelling and interesting for me. He just said, God begins where human effort ends. You see, as long as we work, as long as we keep doing it, it's like there's this tension that we can have where as long as we're functioning in our own strength, well, then, you know, God will just wait. But when we stop, when we come to an end to ourselves, when we are honest about our own weakness, that's when God works. You know, if I think it's Exodus 14:14, is it? I'm having a bit of a brain cramp with that, but it says what God says to Israel. He says, you need to be still and I will fight for you. All you have to do is stop. All you have to do is cease and I will fight for you. And, you know, it's like I heard this saying before, when we work, God waits. When we wait, God works. And I just believe that, you know, in this world that we're living in now, where it's beyond our ability to manage this, would we be willing just to actually just come to terms that we're weak and just be honest with the Father when we speak to him and say, Papa, I'm just weak. I'm just little. I'm just helpless. You know, I know over the years in the ministry that the Lord's called us to, when I would start to take on the weight of the world on my shoulders and I'd start to have this global vision and feel the responsibility for it, I would just speak to myself and say, I'm just little. Barry, I'm just a little boy. I can't do this. Father, would you just come? You see, the reality that weakness is at the heart of the gospel message. And Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, you see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, the truth is, in our own strength, we are still powerless today. We can't determine, you know, to add a hair to our head. We can't, you know, add a cubit to our stature. You know, we aren't in control of our heartbeat. You know, the truth of the matter is that we are absolutely weak and dependent, but we have a Father who has promised to look after us and to care for us and to provide for us and to protect us and to feed us and to convince us that nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. And so I guess my question for you and I is, would we be willing just to come to terms with our own weakness and be able to be honest and come to the Father when we're weak and we're afraid and just be real and just run into his arms and say, when you're helpless, when you're powerless. Because the truth of the matter is we are in an upside down kingdom. As a matter of fact, the kingdom's right side up. The world is upside down. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 onward, Paul writes about how God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He's chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He's chosen the poor things of the world and the despised things to shame the things that are rich. And for me, you know, again, I can forget about this. I can try in my own strength. I can try, you know, until I run out of gas and I'm thinking, what am I thinking? I'm just little. I'm just weak. I'm just helpless. I can't protect myself from COVID-19. I can't protect myself from a failing economy. I can't protect myself from an uncertain world system or a political system. What am I thinking? I'm just little. You see, I truly believe that that's one of the most beautiful attributes of a little child. Is that they know they're weak. Intuitively, they are weak. They can't do anything for themselves. But it's like the weakness that they have is the portal that attracts the strength of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this immeasurable, eternal strength that we have access to continually through our weakness. It's not that we get strong and we're no longer weak. It's, I believe, that it's in the midst of our weakness that that we become strong, that the strength of Christ is actually perfected in us. So, Mark, I just would just invite you to come back, my brother, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, and I know that you have something to say.
Just first of all, if you hear a lot of noise in the background, there's a big firework party going on outside. So, sorry about that. You know, the thing that struck me as Barry was speaking was that we are saved by grace and not through our own works. And, you know, we can't do anything to make ourselves saved. You know, we can't create a product called salvation and work at it and, you know, put all the pieces in order and we're saved. You know, we're saved by grace, not by works, so that no one should boast. That's a really vulnerable position, isn't it? You know, we're saved by grace. The greatest gift we've ever been given, our salvation, is a gift that we've not earned, we've not worked for. It's just freely, freely given. And so that's always got to be our starting point. That's always got to be our foundation point, that we're saved by grace and not by works. I think the very subtle change that happens is we know we're saved by grace, not through our own works, but then we feel like our own works are the thing that maintain our salvation. Mm. You know, we're saved by grace, not by works, but we've jolly well got to work in order to retain or keep hold of that salvation. Mm. And that, I think, is a very, very subtle pressure that is like a blanket that comes upon us. And so we kind of fall into this works based maintenance of Christianity, whereas actually it's a relationship. It's living as sons and daughters to the Father. And, you know, how many kids have to keep on doing things in order to stay in that relationship with their parents? Mm. I mean, you know, they don't do that. You know, they just have that relationship because they have that relationship. And so when we fall into that works based thing, we then become strong in our own efforts, strong in our own performance, strong in our own duty and obligation. And it's like the harder I work, the more I can accomplish, the more God is pleased with me. Mm-hmm. And I was as Barry was speaking, I was just reminded of that passage in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul writes, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. You know, Paul is saying to these guys, look, if you've been comforted, if you know that you're in Christ, if you're living in the Spirit, then we should have the same mind together, the same heart together. And he says, and he goes on to explain what that is. You know, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Don't look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ. You know, although he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. And the thing that really struck me there as I just read that as Barry was speaking was, how often we live the opposite of what Paul is describing there. Mm. And we feel like we have to keep on doing something. You know, Paul says do nothing from selfish ambition, but actually we do a lot from selfish ambition, you know. And we're not very good, particularly us guys, of being humble and counting ourselves, you know, in that lowly place like Jesus. And, you know, Paul's exhortation is to have the same mind that Jesus had, which was he emptied himself, he became nothing. Even though he was the Son of God, even though he was God, he chose that path of humility. Mm. And I think the key is in that first verse there is that we can only really get to that place of saying, I can, I'm getting to that place of walking that path of humility, of, emptying ourselves, becoming nothing. We can only come to that place when our heart has been really comforted. Mm. It just struck me as you were talking, Barry, that the key to that pathway of humility, the key to that pathway of weakness is comfort. Is, you know, we're being encouraged in Christ, we've received the comfort of love, and we're living in the Spirit. That's the thing that unlocks us to have the same, to walk the same pathway as Jesus. Mm. See, and we've talked about comfort many times before, and I know I spoke about this recently, just a few weeks ago, but when we are comforted, we have an inner strength, which doesn't come from us, but it comes from his love in us. And it's like the comfort of his love strengthens our inner man. And that enables us to walk this pathway of humility and weakness, because what is our strength is our strength is the power of his love inside of our hearts. Mm. And so really, I mean, I think that's just all I wanted to add, Barry, is that, you know, the foundation to walk in weakness is basically to be walking in love.
Yeah.
And we love because he first loved us. And to me, that's what planted in love is all about. Mm. That's what rooted and grounded in love is all about. It's just letting his love fill our hearts. And the more his love fills our hearts, I think the more we can let go.
Yeah.
See, if we're not living in love, we can't let go. Mm. We have to hold on to things. We have to grasp for things. But when we live in love, we can let it go, because living in love actually causes us to trust and rely on the one who's greater. And to be weak, to understand the power of weakness, it means letting go. And it's very difficult for us to let go. But actually, when we know we're loved by Almighty God, you know, the Almighty God just happens to be our dad, it's kind of a little bit easier to let go.
Well, the reality of that is that if you're you can't be weak if you're not safe.
Yeah, that's right? Absolutely right. Yes.
Because the weak are exploited.
Yeah, the weak vulnerable are always exploited.
They're always exploited. And so the only way that you and I or all of us can actually wholeheartedly enter into this is to know we're loved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it strikes me regularly that this is one of the ancient paths that is ours to rediscover.
Yeah.
It's a hidden pathway. And I think we talked about this the other week when we looked at Jeremiah 6, that, you know, stand at the crossroads and look for the ancient paths. Mm. And it's like this pathway of weakness is one of those ancient paths. And it's kind of become a little bit overgrown by the weeds of life. And to find the pathway again, we have to stop and look and seek it out. And but it's you know, as Barry was saying, this is the pathway of life. Mm. I actually believe this is the pathway Jesus walked in. Jesus walked a journey of weakness. Mm. You know, Barry's already said, you know, I can do nothing. The Son can do nothing by himself. You know, I think it was Bill Johnson said, you know, Jesus was incompetent because, you know, here he is, the Son of God, the creator of the world, but actually he can do nothing on his own. He just is so dependent on being tuned in to what his Father says. And actually, you know, of course, when you're that tuned in to what the Father's saying, you can do anything because it's the Father doing it. His words are life and they bring life.
And when you think of the Passion Translation that says that we our weakness becomes a portal to the strength of God. I just love it. Yeah. It's just like the visual sense that it's like this magnet, you know, that you know, when it's true, when it's humility, it's not false humility. Mm-hmm. It's true weakness and it's not some kind of religious, you know, self-hatred.
That's right.
But when it becomes true weakness, it's like there's this massive magnet where you know, the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, as we wrap up, I think it's such good news. Like, this is the good news of the kingdom. You know, we don't have to be competent. We don't have to be strong. We don't have to be top of the food chain. We can just be ourselves, and it takes all the pressure off.
Yeah.
And would you be willing, would I be willing to come to terms with that honest weakness that is in, like, and I've heard you say it many times, Mark, how the pretense of being strong, you know, how we the reality is we are all weak.
Yeah.
In our hearts, right? And that is the good news of the gospel.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, maybe we could just, if you guys would be willing to just ask the Father about this. And maybe we just take just a few minutes of just put on the music and just reflect. And maybe we can just pray. And I just feel like I think some of you are struggling with things that you feel like you're about to bust open because of the pressure, and the Father just saying, you know, his arms are there, and just yield to, you know, just come unto me, as Jesus said, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. So, Father, we thank you that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart.
Yeah.
Father, you're not looking for the boldest and the brightest and the richest and the strongest. You've chosen the weak things of the world. You've chosen the poor things, the foolish things. The in your kingdom, the greatest is a toddler. Little baby. It's the best news ever. And Father, in this world that we're all in and we're all dealing with things that are beyond our ability to manage, Father, would you just give us the grace today Yeah, just to humble ourselves, just to be honest, embrace the humility of a little child and just say, Daddy, I can't, this is too much. I'm just weak.
Yeah.
And Father, I just pray that we could go to that place of just childlike trust and childlike honesty, because we know how much you love us.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're safe, that you don't abuse us, you don't reject us when we're weak. You have compassion for us, mm-hmm. because you know how we're made. You remember that we came from dust. You know our frailty. And so, Father, in the midst of the chaos of this world that we're living in, would your grace just overwhelm us and just assure us that when we are weak, then we are strong in the middle of our weakness.
Father, may we never think that our strength is strength. Mm. Father, may we never feel that we have to dig out a pathway of works and performance, trying to please you, trying to win your heart. Father, may we be like Jesus, who just and simply say, I do what my Father does. I say what my Father says. Father, I just ask that we would know that we're loved. That whatever our background has been, whatever our earthly parents have been like, whatever circumstances we're facing, even at this moment, even at this point of time, Father, maybe difficulties, challenges, jobs, financial worries, health issues, Father, I just ask that in the midst of all of those, we would know that we're loved.
Mm.
By you.
Yes.
We would know that we're loved by you, Father. That we're being loved with a perfect Father's love. That will hold us and will carry us through. Thank you, Father, that even in a time of challenge and a time when of uncertainty, we can say, it is well with my soul.
Yes.
It is well. And we can rest in that assurance of your presence with us and carrying us through.
Mm.
Father, you don't just carry our backpack of troubles, you carry us.
Mm.
Yes, you do carry our concerns, but you carry us. As a father carries a child, so you carry us, and you carry us all the way through the wilderness, through the desert.
Mm.
You carry us all the way, every day of our life. Help us not to step out of that embrace and try and do it ourselves, but help us to rely on your everlasting love. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming. And just pray a blessing on you in this week. And yeah, that you just, as Paul says, I celebrate my weakness. I boast in my weakness. May the Father show all of us how we can see it as just a place where we can just rejoice.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, amen. Thanks, my brother. And thanks,
thank
everybody.
You, Barry.
As always. And
same time, same place.
Same time,
next week.
Same place next week, and we'll hopefully you'll see everybody as well. So bless you and have a great week.
Yeah, have a good week, everyone.